We have gathered today to commemorate the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that love does demand, does cost, and is rich and special. I trust that as we go today, that remembering Jesus and our relationship with him is number one. And there are other aspects about this service too, our connectedness with each other. And a lot of times when God works with us, these two are related. I just want to say personally that as we were together on Thursday night and as I expressed my willingness to be approached, that God opened the door, that there were approaches that led me to repentance and then the forgiveness and freedom that was of God. I was blessed with the renewed relationships too, and the restoration of trust that resulted. And so that illustrates what I'm saying, that primary is our relationship with the Lord, but secondary and often complementary is our relationship with each other. So in that vein, there are a number of things that need to be said here this morning and a number of opportunities for others to say things. First, I'd just like to report to you that Sanford and Jolene and Sean and Heidi Yoder, who have moved to Fairland, Oklahoma, are wanting to transfer membership, and we've had official requests from the lead pastor there to grant a release. And so we are of a mind to do so, even though it's our loss. And we don't know of nothing standing in the way of them joining up there and hopefully being faithful members there. So if somebody would have any counsel to the contrary, we would be open for that. And then I also want to give opportunity for Sheila Graber to make any comment that she'd like to. We've been in contact with her and invited her to consider communing with us today as a guest in recognition of her fairly regular attendance, frequent attendance in the last couple of years here, and her fellowship among us. So, Sheila, would you like to say something to us here? Go ahead. Here comes a mic.
I just want to thank you all so much for the welcome I've felt in coming here and for all the love and the support that you all have given me in my journey, and it just means so much to me. And I just want to thank you for the invitation you've given me, for the opportunity to take part in communion with you.
I might just ask, do you have something to say about the Lord? Would you want to add something about that? I know that she thought this would be petrifying, so I can understand and accept her statement. She says she's not really prepared to say anything there. And Sheila is not telling us that I'm applying for membership today, but she is appreciating the opportunity to commune with us. So let us recognize it for what it is and welcome her. Now, perhaps there are others who weren't here Thursday evening and who would like to commune, or also perhaps some of you have talked personally with us ministers, and we count that acceptable. But maybe there are some of you that would like to commune and are ready to rise and give testimony. Would you do that? Yes. And let's give the mic here.
Sometimes I feel like the person described in that song, I'm a poor wayfaring stranger traveling in this world of woe, as I describe it. But anyway, times when I wonder, what's it all about? Times when I wonder, why do I struggle? And times when I wonder, wow, is it worth it? And then when I view and look at the sacrifice, and we've studied a lot about that in Hebrews, when I look at that, then I say, well, whether or not I do struggle, the truth is that there's hope, and Jesus is the answer to all, whether or not I see it at the moment. Which makes me grateful for the opportunity to be part of the life that God gives, and grateful to be here at the moment. We weren't able to, or decided not to be here Thursday because of family around and a busy schedule already, Sharon thought I should just call somebody, and I did talk to Arlen briefly and wasn't ready at the time. I just happened to see him, and then I kind of said, well, I'll call him, and I never did. And so I guess everybody gets to hear what I've got to say. And I do want to be part of the service this morning, and I am grateful that God is faithful in reminding me when I need change. And so as you see it and want to, you can talk to me about how you might think I need to change. And so thank you for making me part of this group. Amen.
Thank you, Willard. Lester, yes.
May I share? I want to share something that God has been convicting me of. And he's been touching in my life about some growing cynicism or skepticism as I view other maybe people or ministries or whatever. I'm not sure where it all came from. I've just been realizing it recently. And that's not the spirit that I want to have. And I've been repenting of that and asking God to give me an ability to experience his love for others and to rejoice in what he's doing rather than nitpicking or looking for fallacies.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm so thankful to be here. And I also had to think of a song that we sometimes sing, and that song is that he's still working on me, and I find daily that things in my life that I need to bring to the Lord, and I just am so thankful that he is my Lord and my master. Mm-hmm. And I went to get my hair cut yesterday, and Muhammad brought out something very special to me, and that is if we take any ingredients of biscuits, you know, the oil or the flour are not very good at all by themselves, but if we mix all these things together, something good can come out of that. And that's like, my life without the Lord wouldn't be very pretty. So I'm so thankful this morning that he is part of my life. And I look forward to communing with all of you today. And if there's anything in my life that you see, I want to be approachable and also on approach.
Yes, there's a hand over here.
I just recently, excuse me, have found in Hebrews 13:20 a verse that just, I mean, this verse just means so much to me. And I'll read it. I've been working on memorizing it. I find this, the verse 21 kind of hard to, the wording kind of hard to memorize, but it is like this: "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." I just, I'm finishing up the book, a book that Christmas Carol Kaufman wrote, Hidden Rainbow, of that young Catholic couple that came to the light, and it is so refreshing how they found the Lord. And yeah, I had talked to David before, but I'm looking forward to communion today. Thank you.
It is really good to have you in the service. I know you have other responsibilities that so often seem to take you away.
At the minister's meeting, I was especially challenged by the thought that, you know, the blessing it is to not only be saved, to save our lives, but that we have been saved in order to lose our lives as well, our personal lives and identity, and to give our lives for the sake of our Lord. And it's just a challenge that I needed to hear. And I'm just so thankful, too, for the grace of our Lord that has transferred me into the kingdom of light. And I just count it a real blessing to be a part of this body, to help build this kingdom that will never be destroyed. Mm-hmm. And just really count it a privilege to participate in the commemoration of the suffering and death of our Lord with you. And I continue to struggle with the thought of, I would desire to approach and be approachable, but I know it's so much easier said than done. But I really do. I think I'd rather be approached than approached. But so I do, that is my desire. And so I just want you to really feel open with me in that. God bless.
There may be others.
I thought, since Rosa spoke what she did, I thought, Mom isn't here to give her testimony, and she won't be communing, but I thought you should hear her latest testimony. The other night, in the middle of the night, she said, God created the world. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
I just want to thank the Lord for his love and his blood that has shed for me, and more and more he is very precious to me, and the word of God. And I'm also thankful for the church here very much, and I want to be a builder, and I also want to be approached as when you see things that are not good. And I want to grow in the Lord, and I just praise him for his love for me. And I want to take part in the service today. Thank you for everything.
There's one up here.
I also am thankful for the invitation to take communion with you all. I've been blessed being here a lot of the time the last almost 2 years. There's a lot of things that I don't know in life, but there's a few things I'm pretty confident about. And one is that Jesus has done what it takes to make me accepted in the Beloved, and I am very grateful for that. And another is that I want to be his and know him more. And I would welcome your input into my life. Because, I want to know God. And so if there's something that's hindering, I would like to know that. Yes, thank you for your welcome.
Blessings to you, Crystal, as you serve among us. It's an investment that we don't take for granted. Is there someone else? You know, it takes a little time for us to do this kind of thing, but I see the common threads of how we relate to God and our humanness and relationships to each other that I find blessing and encouragement in, and certainly encourage all of you to take courage when opportunities are given, and the Lord has given you something that could be beneficial, that we wouldn't shy away from each other, certainly not let the Lord down. So thank you for participating this morning. I'd like to turn now to the scriptures, and oftentimes on a day like this, maybe in an opening, we go to the beginning of the story. Today, for some reason, I'm choosing to go to the end, nearly the end here in 1 John 3. And I want to quote from John here. Actually, I'm going to start in the end of chapter 2. And I'd also like to refer to his vision in the first chapter of the Revelation. And a little contrast there, but briefly this morning I want to think about his admonition. John was one who was close to Jesus, knew him well. Jesus never had to tell John, "Lovest thou me?" Because Jesus knew it. Jesus didn't have to test him, didn't have to tease out the confession. Well, it's 1 John 2 and verse, is it 28 here? Yes. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Well, I'm going to pause to comment. We know that Jesus taught John that, abide in me, and as you abide in me, you will have life. So that's for us today too, that we abide in him. And so all of these testimonies and confessions are in that vein, that we recognize our relationship to him and we remember his suffering and death so that we could, that is the foundation for us to be in relationship with him, that we can abide in him. And then he says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Sometimes we hear it by their testimonies, by our neighbor's testimonies, or hear it and we are blessed by it. But when we see people living like Jesus, then we just have that a quiet assurance that they don't have to even say it necessarily. But we recognize that there's a relationship. And I'm not by that then saying that we should just zip the lip, that I think that is right. I bless you for opening your mouth and testifying of Jesus. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. There's the wonder. It's the demonstration of his love. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That's probably all related back to abiding in Christ, because, you know, when we have a connection, and even when we see, we'll see him, John has the confidence or the prophecy that we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Will it be just because we see him, or will it just be because of the work of God, or will it just be because we've abided in him? I don't know for sure in what order or what mixture, but it says here that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and that this hope will purify us. Well, yes, it says that he who has this hope purifies himself. I think maybe it is the hope that purifies, I'm not sure. But now, I thought I'd like to just read for you with an interesting little section here from the first chapter of the Revelation, where it says that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard up behind him a loud voice. This is verse 10 if you're turning. But I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. And skipping a bit, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. You know, I kind of like to hear mountain streams. The gurgling of the waters, it has something of a call to this plainsman that's special. And to think of the voice of God or Jesus to be like the sound of many waters is interesting. I don't know that it's theologically significant, but I pause to ponder. And he had his right hand of seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. So here I'm going to pause to just marvel that this disciple whom Jesus loved, who had this relationship with him, that Jesus never, that I remember, chided him or challenged him about his love. And here's this man with the relationship that he had with Christ, has a vision, and he sees Christ with this kind of detail and majesty, and he tries to describe what he was like. He says he was like this or similar to this or so on, and I just realize again the lack of human words and understanding of things that are spiritual and future and heavenly. And then his response is to fall on his face, or at least fell at his feet as dead. And then Jesus laid his right hand on him and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. You know, the marvel is here that this man was humbled and just fell as dead. And then the blessing is that Jesus reached out to him and gave him life. It's it's difficult for me to know for sure how much to take out of a vision. But coming back to this passage, making a little bit of comparison in 1 John here, we notice that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I don't know if in that time there will be no reason to fall prostrate before God or not. But maybe there's a difference in our time, like John was on this side of glory, that we have these times when we need to, and maybe less or maybe not. Then I don't know. I don't preach it to you as the scripture. But I do notice this, that John was pretty clear that abiding in Christ will lead us to a time in which we shall be like him. And it's so precious. And to notice that even if in this time you and I find ourselves prostrate before God, that God isn't just leaving us there, I don't believe. I believe he always reaches out. It's my experience that he reaches out and he touches us with life-giving love. So maybe sometimes we need to fall dead in the spirit and then receive the reviving truth that puts us on our feet and empowers us for service. And thus we have death with Christ and resurrection with him in our experience. Let us kneel for prayer. We come dedicating this service to you and praying that you would cast upon us again the spell of the costliness of your atonement. That in this we turn to you again, individually and yes, even corporately, to learn more of your love, sacrifice, and the reviving touch of your Spirit. So God, help us to never take this for granted, but to rise up again in newness of life and thanksgiving for how you help us through this veil of tears. In Jesus' name, amen.